Hey, don't you just appreciate our CCV music team and all they bring every single weekend? Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, they really are a group of very humble but talented individuals that are creating music within the church for the church. And this last Friday, we released a new album called Desert Sessions, and we'd love for you to just listen to it throughout your week so that throughout your week, you can be encouraged with the same music that you get to be encouraged with right now on the weekend. And that would, I think, just be a great, great thing and a great tool for you during your week. Well, this weekend, we are continuing a series we've been in for the past 3 weeks called Samson. And we've just been walking through the life of this man, Samson. His whole story is found in 4 chapters in the Bible in the book of Judges. And we've been walking through a few of the chapters already. And today, I'm going to walk you through chapter 16. So if you've got a Bible with you or you know use it on your phone, you can pull that up right now. If you didn't bring a Bible, you're new to church, man, we are so glad you're here. I'm going to have the verses for you on the screen. But as you're turning there, I want to do an exercise this morning that might be fun for you. It's probably a little risky for me, but we're going to do it anyways. Here's what I want you to do. I would like you to guess from this point on the stage right now, if I started walking forward and just started taking steps, how many steps do you think it would take before I fell off the front of the stage? Okay? Now, I want you to make an exact guess, like exactly how many steps were my next step I was going to fall off the stage. Okay? You got it? Now, some of you are thinking this. Well, that depends on how big your steps are. All right? Well, so let's just say I do this. Let's just say I take steps as small as I can, just one step in front of the other. So just the size of my foot, which for you nerds out there is a size 10. You're calculating, you know, the distance. So I'm just going to take small steps. Okay? Do you have your exact guess? You got it? Now, show of hands on every single one of our campuses, how many of you would like me to show you the answer? Okay? Now, I don't know about your campus. It really hurt my feelings here because there's many people that they're basically saying this. I don't care if my pastor falls off the stage. That's what they're saying, you know? Hurts me a little bit, but I'm going to show you anyways, okay? You ready? So you got your guess, remember? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and it's off the stage, all right? So I'm off, all right? So luckily, I didn't die because some of you would have felt really bad for, roll an ankle. But so I counted at the 8th step I fell off? 9th. At the 9th step I fell off. Anybody guess exactly right? Anybody guess 9? All right, I have a small Seahawks jersey for you after the service, all right? So I'm joking. Some of you know what that means. But here's the real question I want to ask you this morning, right? And it's a little bit deeper question. Of those 9 steps I took that fell, you know, when I fell to my demise, if you could only pick one step that led and you could to me falling off, and you could only pick one, which step would you choose? Now, it's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, I think where our minds go to either the first step, that got me started, but isn't it true that that last step, like the last step over, isn't that the one that's filled with the most emotion? I mean, I saw some of you were kind of like, you know, the moms in the audience were like, no, you know, don't do it, and yet then it's false. And I think it's a really good visual for us because, you know, what happens when we see someone fall in life, whether they fall to a substance or maybe it's something sexually or maybe it's financially or it's with a friendship, when you see someone fall, you know, I think what happens, especially, you know, when you look at the media or if it's a celebrity or someone in the limelight and we see someone fall, especially really publicly, isn't it true that most of the media attention is right towards the very last few steps of what led to the fall? I mean, it's kind of what happens. And Samson's life is a really good example of this because we know that Samson's going to fall, right? He falls really, really bad towards the end of his life. And if I asked you, just put you on the spot, and I said, who's the woman that caused Samson to fall? What would you say? Like, if you know the story, who's the name? It's Delilah, right? We all know the name Delilah. And yet, here's what we've been learning in the story of Samson is there are several women that Samson fell to before he ever fell to Delilah. She's just the one that was at the very, very end, so she gets all the press on his fall. But here's what we all know. We all know every single fall that we've seen, and especially our own falls, because every single one of us here today, myself included, has fallen in life, here's what we know to be true. It was always a bunch of little steps that got us there. So, hey, figuratively and literally, those 9 steps I took, every single one of them contributed to my ultimate demise. It's just sometimes we just focus on that last one. Now, what we're gonna see today in the life of Samson towards the end is we're gonna see this. We're gonna see that the strongest man physically in all of Scripture is going to lose all of his strength. He's gonna be captured by his enemies. He's gonna have both of his eyes gouged out by his enemies, which is just grotesque. He's gonna be shackled up, and he's gonna be paraded around like a circus animal as a laughingstock for the whole Philistine nation. I mean, it just begs the question, how does a man that's so strong he can rip apart a lion with his bare hands, how does he end up ripping his whole life apart? And that's what we're gonna look at today. So if you're taking notes, the big idea for today is this. Samson didn't ruin his life in a moment. It never happens in a moment. Here's what happened. Samson ruined his life one small step at a time. Now, I wanna show you how this plays out in Judges chapter 16. Let's just kind of dive right in. Judges chapter 16, verse 1 starts this way. One day, Samson went down to Gaza. I mean, it's the kind of thing that you read and you just don't even give it a second glance. And yet, I wanna peel this back just a little bit because I think this is really, really deep. This word went in the Hebrew is actually the word walk. So the way you could read this verse is, one day, Samson walked to Gaza. Not a big deal, right? The problem is this. No Israelite that followed God would ever walk to Gaza. Now, there's several Philistine cities all across Israel at this time as the Philistines are kind of oppressing Israel, but Gaza is the capital city of their enemies, the Philistines. It's where all Samson's enemies are at. And plus, it's 45 miles from Samson's hometown to this coastal city, Gaza, in Israel. So when you read a verse like this, imagine this week that you got on CCV social media, one of our social media accounts, and our social media account just said this. One day this week, Ashley walked from Phoenix to Gila Bend. That's about the same distance. And you would think, why would Ashley go to Gila Bend? Why would anyone go to Gila Bend? I don't know. Some of you from Gila Bend, you're like, that's my hometown. I'm sorry, okay. I grew up in a small town as well. But why would Samson walk 45 miles to a place he knows he's not supposed to be? Well, the verse goes on to give us a clue, and we can only speculate, but the verse goes on to say this, where he saw a prostitute. Women were Samson's kryptonite. And you can kind of see where this is headed because the verse goes on to say this, he went in to spend the night with her, which is a nice way of saying what we know happened. But let me just read this verse again, okay? One day Samson went down to Gaza, he saw a prostitute, and he just went in and slept the night with her. And he spent the night with her. It's like you could just think, the poor guy, he's just walking along. And he sees a prostitute, and it just kind of happens in a moment. I mean, he just kind of fell in a moment. No, it never happens in a moment. Remember, he walked 45 miles to get there. So I did some math this week. Do you want to know how many steps it would take to walk 45 miles? It's about 90,000 small steps. 90,000 small, little steps, all in the wrong direction. Don't you kind of wonder what was going on in Samson's mind as he took 90,000 steps? It's probably the same thing that goes on in our minds when we take the small steps. I'm strong enough. I'm not gonna touch. I'm just going to look. I'm just gonna do some research on Philistine women, kind of just learn about them. It'll make me a better leader, maybe. I mean, I would never be walking this direction if she was meeting my needs. 90,000 small little steps, which means 90,000 opportunities to say, What am I doing? Where am I going? Turn around. And yet Samson doesn't do it. This is such a big lesson for all of us, because all of us know you don't mess up in a moment. It's always small little steps. For example, I've never met a man in my life that said something like this. You know what my 10-year goal is? My 10-year plan is I'm gonna start looking at a little bit of pornography, and then I'm gonna look a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then I'm gonna get addicted, and then I'm gonna let this addiction begin to control my life, and it's gonna infiltrate every area of my life, and then it's gonna destroy my marriage, and it's gonna destroy my family and destroy everything. No one says that. But how's it happen? It happens something like this. This is how it happens. It happens something like this. You have a man sitting down at a computer, and he's like, I'm just gonna look up this actress I think is really beautiful. Click. And then right underneath the search is another website that he knows is likely not good. But hey, I'm just checking it out. Click. Bam! Whoa! Yeah. Click. 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 Click, 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 click. And before you know it, you're hundreds of thousands of clicks in. And then you do it again and again. And the next week, and the next night, and the next week, and before you know it, you're 90,000 clicks in, and now you have a problem. Last week, you know, as a church, I was so proud of our church, and we just kind of really hit head on this topic of pornography. And I just want you to know, as your pastor, that I believe in our generation, this is the issue for men. And a growing number of women. And I just want you to know, last weekend, I began praying every day this week for those men and women in our church who said, I want to tackle this. I want to move beyond this. And I want to tell you there's hope. And we gave you so many tools last weekend and so many resources, and I hope you're taking advantage of them, because we want to be a church that helps. But for a lot of you, that's not your issue. You know, maybe your issue is you're taking small steps towards, you know, a bunch of debt, and it's just a little credit card debt here, 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 here. Or maybe it's small steps of flirting, or maybe it's small steps, you know, in another direction. For some of you, you look at where you're at right now, and it's small steps that got you where you're at with that substance, with alcohol or an opiate or those other pills. I don't know what small steps you may be taking right now, but I believe God has some of you here today to get your attention. Because what we're gonna see in the rest of chapter 16 is Samson takes four small steps that I'm gonna walk you through that I think are the exact same small steps that we take, and it always leads towards a really, really big mess. Let's continue the story, and I wanna give you the kind of very first step first. And the first step that we take, Samson took as well, is you underestimate your enemy. You just begin to underestimate your enemy and the danger that you're in. Remember, where we left Samson just a moment ago in verse 1 is he's in a prostitute's house. You remember this? Verse 2 picks up the story and says this. The people of Gaza were told, Samson's here! You're not gonna believe it. This moron walked 90,000 miles into our city, and he's here. So what are they gonna do? So they surround the place, and they lay in wait for him all night at the city gate, and they made no move during the night, saying this, at dawn, we'll kill him. So here's what they decide. Hey, it's nighttime, it's dark, it might be hard to overpower him. Let's wait until the morning. Hey, everybody, get a good night's sleep, because we're gonna take out Samson in the morning. So everyone goes to sleep. Man, listen to what happens next. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night, about midnight, and he got up. And I'm just picturing he walks out the doors of his house. Under the light of the moon, he sees hundreds of men laying around with swords by their sides, and it hits him. These men were gonna ambush me and kill me. And you're kind of thinking, like, this is Samson's moment, right? This is where he goes, oh, thank you, Lord, for delivering me. And he runs all the way back home and just repents of his sin, right? No. This is what Samson does. It goes on. And he took hold of the doors of the city gate. He walks past all these men and grabs the doors of the city gate together with the two posts, and he tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Now understand this verse. This gate he picked up, this is not the gate going into your backyard, okay? This is a city gate. These would have been huge. They would have been massive solid wood structures, likely overlaid with some metal. And he picks them up. They would have weighed over 500 pounds. Many commentators believe so much more than that. He picks them up and he goes to Hebron, which is 35 miles away, all uphill. So he carries the gates 35 miles. You know what Samson does? Samson does a CrossFit drill, right? He shows off and he taunts his enemy. He underestimates his enemy. I mean, he's bragging. He's like throwing it in their face. Look at me. Look how strong I am. And he underestimates them. And I see men do this all the time. I see men that struggle with a substance and they keep it in their house because they're strong. Well, I'm a strong man. I can handle it. I see men that struggle with pornography that refuse to protect their devices. I see men that struggle financially and they're just in so much debt. And they do things like this. They're like, well, I'm just gonna go to the car dealership and look around a little bit. I'm not gonna buy, I'm just gonna look. And you women, some of you ladies right now, you're like, get them. We're not letting you off the hook though, remember? You know, maybe for some of you today, some of you ladies would say, you know what, you're wrapped up in these romance novels and you think it's no big deal. And you know what you don't realize is a little 50 Shades of Grey. It's not little at all. Or maybe on social media, you keep looking up that guy from your past. And what's the harm in that? I mean, but you let your mind wander. I've known women that watch pornography with their husbands as if it's no big deal. You are underestimating your enemy. Do you understand who your enemy is? Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. It says this, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And this is so vivid. Your enemy, Satan, who wants to take you out, he prowls around just looking for someone taking small steps. And when he finds that person taking small steps, what's it say he does? It says he devours. You know what that word actually means? It means to destroy. It means that you have an enemy that doesn't want to hurt you. It wants to destroy everything that's good in your life. And the moment that you think it's just little steps, this is no big deal, is the moment that you are ripe for a huge fall. It's why 1 Corinthians goes on to tell us this. So if you think you're standing firm, don't fool yourself. Be careful that you don't fall. But the very first step you will always take towards a big mess is you begin to underestimate your enemy and the danger you're in. And when you do that, I'm telling you, it begins to lead to the second step, which is this. You begin to rationalize the same old sin. You're just gonna rationalize it. Now, remember, Samson, at this point, he's fallen to the woman at Timnah, chapter 14. Now he's fallen to a prostitute, a Philistine prostitute. I mean, surely at this point, he's learned his lesson. I mean, he's not gonna fall a third time to another Philistine woman. That would be kind of dumb, right? The very next verse, chapter 4, or verse 4 says this, sometime later he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, a Philistine woman, whose name was what? Delilah. Yeah, she hits the scene. How can you fall to the same thing over and over again? But hey, isn't it true in your life, and this is certainly true for me, isn't it frustrating when we fall to the same thing over and over again? You know, what's really interesting about this to me is that the name Delilah in the Hebrew dialect and some of the Aramaic, you know, background, it actually means, it comes from the root word to dangle or to flirt. That's what her name means. Isn't that so descriptive of what happens to us? It's like it just Satan just dangles a little bit out there, and it's like just, he just dangles, like, just take the bait, just take the bait. And again, we're not biting, we're not fully biting, we're just taking small steps. And you get to the place where then he devours, you take the bait, and we do it, and we just fall to the same thing over and over again. And here's what we do, we rationalize it. We're masters at rationalizing it. We say something like this: well, hey, I'm a good guy. I mean, this is my one thing. This is my one bad habit. This is my one vice. No big deal. And then we say something like this: it's in secret. It's just me. I'm not hurting anybody else, because what's done in secret doesn't hurt anybody else, right? Let me just pause and address this for a moment. What's done in secret doesn't hurt anybody else is maybe the biggest lie you will ever tell yourself. I wrote it in your notes this way because I want, for some of you, I want this to sink in today. Secret sin hurts you, and to hurt you will eventually hurt those around you. Secret sin always hurts you, and a hurt you will eventually always hurt those around you. And some of you here today, you know that because that's your story of how someone hurt you. It was just all done in secret, and they thought, this is not going to affect anybody, but it always affects the people around you. And if you begin to rationalize the same old thing over and over again, it will eventually lead you to this third step, which is to overlook the obvious warning signs. You just begin to overlook them. I mean, Samson, at this point, you know, as we're reading through the story, I'd love for you to actually go back in chapter 16. I want you this week to read the whole chapter of 16. You know, some of you don't read your Bibles that much. This is unbelievable. Like, this is so good. It's basically a modern-day spy movie, okay, which is my favorite genre of movie, okay? There's a main character. There's a female agent. There's a bunch of assassins. And the whole plot line is just unbelievable. Let me try to summarize it for you, and then you go back and read it for yourself, okay? The summary would be this. The Philistines understand that Samson has his eye on Delilah, and he's locked on her. So the Philistines go to Delilah, and they bribe her, not just with a little. They bribe her with what would have been the equivalent of probably an over $1 million bribe in our day and age, and she takes the bait. She says, I'll do it. And here's her mission. Her mission is to coax Samson and trick him into telling her how he can be subdued, how his strength can be taken away. And so she goes to work. I mean, she goes to work on Samson. And this is where it's like, when you're reading the story, you're like, this should be deja vu for Samson. I mean, it should be so obvious. Remember back in chapter 14, he's already been tricked and coaxed by another woman, the woman in Timnah, to reveal his riddle. Remember that? And she was sneaky. Delilah, like, it's so obvious to me. She's not sneaky at all. Listen to what she asked Samson 4 times. Now listen to this. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. I'm thinking, I mean, let's put this in personal terms. Let's say, let's say that you're having like a really romantic dinner with your wife, and it's candlelights, and man, things are going good, and you're thinking about where this is going to be good. And you're having this great conversation, and then kind of in the midst of the conversation, your wife just says, she says something like this: hey, if I was going to tie you up and kill you, how should I do it? Would anybody go, whoa? I mean, I was thinking, like, if Jamie said this to me, my wife, I might call the police. Like, I don't know what's gotten in. I don't know what's going on here. And yet, Delilah asked Samson 4 times the same thing. And here's what some of you are thinking, probably more women than men. You're thinking this: could a man really be that stupid? Could a man really get so sexually kind of charged and kind of in the direction of a woman that he would make the same dumb mistake over and over again? Yeah. Yeah, you guys know the answer, right? Some of you guys are like, you're on a new date, you brought your date to church, you're like, I don't know what he's talking about, I don't know. Yeah, you do, because every man here in his past has an example of a woman that you got your eyes locked on and you did some dumb things. I mean, you spent money you'd be embarrassed to tell us about. You did things, you went places. I mean, it was dumb. Some of you right now are dating someone and it's so obvious. Your mom's telling you, your dad's telling you, your siblings are telling you, your friends are telling you, hey, they come over to the house and the dog runs in the other room. I mean, it's so obvious and you just keep overlooking the obvious. And this is where we just have to understand something. Let's talk honestly, okay? Let's understand something about men. Men are created by God with this really, really powerful sex drive. I mean, really powerful. And if it's not watched and guarded, I mean, this thing gets out of control. But ladies, we're pretty simple as men, okay? I mean, we really are. I mean, if you boil down like the three things we need to survive, it'd be this: food, sex, and every once in a while we need a pat on the head, okay? You're doing great, honey. Good job. Now get back to work. But these are kind of the big three, right? These are the three things. Now, if you asked us to only choose one, let's just say there's a lot of men that would starve, okay? So it's just who we are. It's who we are. But if you don't guard this drive and put it in the bounds of how God wants you to operate, which is always the best, by the way. A lot of us think we can get outside the bounds of God's, sexual design for our lives, and we think, well, it's gonna be just fine, and it never works out that way. But can I ask something? Is there any area in your life where you're overlooking the obvious? And it might not be sexual, it may be with a substance, it may be with some debt. I mean, it's so obvious. Anybody would see that it's obvious. But it's not to you. See, I think for a lot of us, this is kind of a moment. Last week, Mark challenged us to this 90-day challenge. And some of you took it, and you didn't last 7 days. And you're still not willing to admit. You're overlooking, this is something I need to address. But when you begin to underestimate, and then you begin to rationalize, and then you begin to overlook, it leads you to a deadly third step, which is you ignore the costs. You ignore the costs. The first three times Delilah asks Samson to tell me how you can be subdued so we can tie you up, he lies to her. But the fourth time, he tells her the truth. He tells her, I made this vow to God. And if I break this vow to God with my hair, I'm going to lose my strength. And in what I think is the saddest verse in the whole story of Samson, my opinion, even as he breaks his vow to God, he doesn't think there's a cost. Watch what he says. Watch this. That night, Delilah ties him up, cuts his hair off. And in the morning, listen to what Samson does. He awoke from his sleep and he thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. Nothing's gonna happen here. I broke my vow to God. I've kept taking these small steps, but I'm a strong man. I'll figure it out and I'll break myself free still. And the very next line says this. Listen to how powerful this is. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. I wonder how many men here today are operating under your own strength and you don't realize that God's strength has left you, which makes you incredibly weak. And this is where it all goes downhill. It's been a bunch of little steps and Samson finally falls off the ledge, and the very next verse says this, then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. What happened? It didn't happen in a moment. It was small steps all leading in the wrong direction. Here's what Samson did. Let me just summarize again. He underestimated his enemy. You begin to rationalize the same old sin. You overlook obvious warning signs, and then you ignore the costs. And that's where maybe some of us are today. We're maybe somewhere in here. And I understand this is an ancient story from over 3,000 years ago about a man that fell. But here's what all of us know. 3,000 years later, the same thing happens every single day. And we had a man in our church just in a moment of courage and also vulnerability. He agreed to share his story with you of how he took some small steps that led to a really big mess. Watch Will's story.
It goes from a, you know, just a warm smile with a coworker in passing to, you know, just innocent flirting. Weeks go by, you know, the flirting increases, you know, the lunches increases, the text message increases, you know, the attention gets stronger. One thing led to another, and I ultimately ended up having an affair with one of my coworkers. It was an easy trap to fall into, you know, and I stepped right into it. It went on for, you know, months, you know, deleting text messages or lying about where I was at, just trying my best to cover up the tracks. I had my at-home life, you know, so I had Katie, who was a stay-at-home mom at the time, you know, I had the two kids were at home. But at work, I was very successful, senior management, so I got a lot of attention. But like most things that happen in the dark, sooner or later it comes to light. So it was a matter of time. I think Katie was uploading or downloading some pictures on my phone and kind of went through and saw some messages that I thought was deleted. And needless to say, the house of cards fell.
I was certainly angry. One of the things he always used to say to me was, I'm a grown man, I can do what I want. Like, you're not my mother, you're not in charge of me, I can do what I want. And so I think that he just did what he wanted.
I think I thought that I could control the situation even if she found out. If she found out, I thought that I could talk my way out of that situation. I was just so concerned with myself, you know, what I wanted. When her and the kids left and I realized that things were never gonna be the same, I think for me personally, that's when I really hit rock bottom.
And I remember taking the divorce papers to him at work to sign. Like, I just wanted it to be done with.
You've lost your wife, you've lost your kids. Everyone knows how you treated your family that you love, that loved you. After many small steps in the wrong direction, I found myself alone in one of the darkest times of my life. One day I just woke up and said that, you know, I'm gonna fight for them, I'm gonna fight for my family. So I just told her I was able and willing to do whatever it takes to repair the damage that had been done, but it was a pretty lonely period before she would even, you know, talk to me.
Just small steps. Seems so small. Just a little flirting. It's just a text message. I'm a man. I can do what I want. I can control the situation. I know it looks a little out of balance, but I'm in control. I can work my way out of this. And what seems so obvious to you of a weakening structure, I still think I'm gonna win the game. And so I just keep taking small steps. And it starts to wiggle, and you never know which step it's gonna be. You just never know. And it wasn't anything big. It was just a small step. But it was a lot of small steps in the wrong direction. And this is a moment of truth for someone here today. And the moment of truth is this. God's got your attention. You know where you're at. And you have to answer this question very honestly, which is simply this. Where am I stepping away from God? Like, what's an area of your life that you could be stepping away from God? And it could be so small for you. It could be that you've stopped reading your Bible. I mean, you used to be consistent, but you've stopped reading your Bible, and it just seems like a small step. You've stopped attending a neighborhood group. That's not a big deal. I mean, you're busy, right? You've stopped doing something else. It's just a little credit card debt. For some of you, it's a lot bigger. You have a step where you're playing with fire, and you know it, but you think you can control the situation. And what you need to know is God has you here today to get your attention. And listen to me, it doesn't matter how far down the road you are. Some of you feel so guilty. It's like you've just kind of given up because you've just taken so many steps. But listen to me, it doesn't matter if you're on step one or you're on step 89,655. If you will simply admit, I've been taking steps in the wrong direction, what do? This is the whole message. What do? You just turn around. You do what the Bible says, which is you repent and you say, God, I've been taking steps in the wrong direction. They're little, they seem little to me, but they're not little to you. I've underestimated, God. I've rationalized. I've begun to overlook way big, obvious warning signs, and I'm ignoring that there's a cost that's happening very, very soon. And God has you here potentially to rescue some of you today. But there's some of you here today that this conjures up some guilt in your life because you feel like, man, that was me. That was my story. I took a bunch of steps. And listen to me. If you feel guilty here today, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for you to hear next week's message. I can't wait. It's my favorite message of the entire series because next week we're going to see the rest of Will's story, which we kind of left you hanging on, right? And we're going to hear the rest of Samson's story where you're going to see a man who has his eyes gouged out, shackled, God still uses in a powerful way. But today, the one thing I want you to do, is just honestly admit, where am I taking small steps? Because until you do that, you can't turn around. There can't be any hope. I put it this way in your notes. In the midst of a mess, the first step towards hope is always honesty. Which means it's little steps. God, I'm going to be honest about these little steps, and I'm going to turn back around. And when you turn back around, do you understand? You have a God. You have a Father that has open arms. I mean, He is waiting to receive you. Some of you have been on the fence about getting baptized because you've never even taken that step, and because you think you're so far gone. Don't you ever believe that lie. We have a God who's waiting for you to turn back around, but you have to be honest. It takes honesty. And where there's honesty, trust me, there's hope. I'm going to give you one last verse. After Samson's shackled, eyes gouged out, listen to the very next verse. But the hair on Samson's head began to grow again. Whew. That is good. And that's a message God wants to send someone today. That no matter where you are at, no matter how many steps you've taken, if you will turn around, God can redeem any situation. Where are you taking a step away from God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story of Samson. It is a story that is so strong. It's so vivid. The picture of it, God, is so much more relatable than a lot of us want to admit. I know looking at my own life, Father, I've seen so many times I've just taken small steps away from you. And it's led to falls in my life. And I know there's many people here that have fallen and they know that's their story. And yet there's many of us here today, God, that we've been taking steps away from you and we know it and they seem so small and insignificant. And today you're going to get our attention and you're going to allow some people today to turn back to you. And Father, as they do that, would you embrace them with hope for their future? In the midst of whatever mess they're in, give them hope. You're a God of hope. We pray this now in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, I really am pumped about next week. And here's the thing, do not come alone. It's the perfect weekend to invite someone with you. We'll see you then. Until then, go out and have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.